If you or someone you know has ever struggled with an addiction, you probably know how hard it can be to figure out where to go for help. There are inpatient and outpatient programs, places that use alternative or holistic approaches, and support groups like Alcoholics or Narcotics Anonymous. It can be a confusing system, and figuring out how to navigate it can be challenging, especially in the middle of a crisis. Anne Fletcher is the author of a number of books, including the New York Times bestseller Sober for Good. Her new book is Inside Rehab, The Surprising Truth About Addiction Treatment and How to Get Help That Works. Anne, welcome to Central Time.
It's good to be with you.
Well, you, for this book, went around the country. You actually went into a lot of these rehab systems with permission, saw what went on there. You interviewed people coming out of them. All rehab centers, I've learned from your book, are not created equal. Can you tell us about this kind of patchwork we have?
Oh, that's right. I said sometimes I felt like I was in the Wild West, and the experts agreed with me. I visited 15 programs, everything from, I went coast to coast, everything from celebrity rehabs to places that treat indigent people. And I learned a lot of things, but I also offer people a lot of tips for finding what's right for them, the best kind of treatment that's out there. But one of the things that people really need to know is that most people don't recover from addictions, or what experts more correctly call substance use disorders, by going to a treatment program. Most of them recover either completely on their own by attending self-help or recovery groups such as AA, but there are many alternatives to AA, or by seeing a counselor or therapist individually. So one of the big myths that's out there is that to recover from addictions, you need to go to rehab.
And that's one of the big questions, one of many questions you tackle in the group, in the book. What is it that determines who might benefit from a rehab thing, especially an inpatient rehab facility, versus who might have a better option not with a live-in facility?
Well, there isn't really a good way to determine that ahead of time. So that's disconcerting for people to find that out. It's kind of like whichever place you go to, by the time you once you walk through the door, you're probably going to wind up in that place. I recommend that people try to get an independent assessment from somebody, say a psychologist or a social worker in your community. And there are people who are working independently. This would be an independent assessment from somebody, a mental health professional who has expertise with substance use disorders, and who can give you an independent assessment about how serious your problem is. Every substance use disorder, the guidelines that we use are called the DSM, and they are now rated on, when you're assessed, it would be mild, moderate, or severe. And usually only people with a severe problem, and that really is the minority of people with an addiction or substance use disorder, only the minority of people have a severe substance use disorder. Most people who are out there with a problem with drugs or alcohol, particularly alcohol, and that still is our number one killer or the problem with people, despite all that we hear about the opioid epidemic, alcohol still is the number one problem. Most people have a mild or moderate problem, not a severe problem. And if you get this independent assessment with somebody who is not tied to a rehab, who does not have a personal investment, that's the best way to go about it, because they can tell you how severe your problem is and whether or not you need to go to an outpatient program, which is really where about 9 out of 10 people wind up, and 1 out of 10 people end up in a rehab, and they're really meant for the most severe cases.
It might strike people as difficult or unusual to be, in effect, shopping for addiction treatment, but it sounds like you're saying that's part of what we should be doing. In addition to getting that that referral, also looking at the various options and figuring out what they offer and picking and choosing to the extent that we can.
It's exactly what people should be doing. One of the experts who I interviewed and who helped me with the book is Dr. Thomas McClellan, and he said, most people spend more time shopping for a vacuum cleaner or a washing machine than they do looking for addiction treatment. And, you know, that's a pretty sad state of affairs. I'm about to have back surgery, and I consulted several experts before I decided who was going to put a knife in my back. But we don't think that way. We panic. And most people, I mean, there are people who are about to die from a substance use disorder. And you need to get them help quickly. And sometimes we often, what people do is they turn to their neighbor. They turn to somebody they know. They turn to their doctor. And many, I would say, venture to say most physicians, really don't know a whole heck of a lot about addiction treatment. Most of us, when we have a problem, can take some time. It doesn't matter if you wait a few weeks or even a month to take time to find an expert in your community. I can think of several in my relatively small university town where you go to this expert who can give you an independent assessment of what you, and maybe that person turns out to be the person who you end up seeing, who can counsel you one-on-one. Because if you go to treatment, whether it's an outpatient program or a very fancy rehab, you're going to end up in groups. Some of the most prestigious programs that I went to, people were in group treatment. I figured out about 8 hours out of a 15-hour day. And I thought to myself, if I were going to send one of my young adult kids to spend $30,000 on rehab, I would never have guessed that 8 hours of that 15-hour day were going to be in group treatment. And that's excluding lunch and meditation groups. But that really floored me.
Talking to Ann Fletcher, her new book is Inside Rehab, The Surprising Truth About Addiction Treatment and How to Get Help That Works. And there's this obituary from the Burlington Free Press in Vermont that's gone viral. It's written by the mother of a young woman who died of an addiction. And I want to quote just one bit of it, very relevant to your book. Quoting here, if you work in one of the many institutions through which addicts often pass, rehabs, hospitals, jails, courts, and treat them with the compassion and respect they deserve, thank you. If instead you see a junkie or thief or liar in front of you rather than a human being in need of help, consider a new profession. So as you looked at rehab centers and other options out there, what attitude did you see?
In terms of the...
Which side of that fence people were on?
Well, it depends. I found some of the facilities that I went to were using terminology like all addicts are the same, using terms like junkies. And if you, like somebody's a junkie, people, you need to understand that this is a disorder. There's controversy about whether you want to call, whether it's a disease, even though most professional organizations feel that it's a disease. I feel like let's not waste time arguing about what it is. It is, by the time somebody has a severe use disorder, I feel it's a disease. And it takes hold, and it's all the person can think about. Let's treat it with respect and recognize it that way. It's controlling a person's life at that point. And to use pejorative language, like junkie, even clean, if somebody's clean, I cringe every time I hear somebody say, he's clean and sober, or he has a dirty urine. He had a dirty urine. That suggests that when you say somebody's clean, it suggests that they were dirty when they were using. We would never say that about somebody with diabetes when they have a positive urine test. We need to stop and fight against the stigma that with which addiction, people with addiction are treated. I never refer to somebody as an addict, or I try not to use that terminology. And it's called person first language. We're fighting against it. Where a person is not a diabetic first, it's a person with diabetes.
We're talking to Ann Fletcher, author of the book Inside Rehab, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you gone through this yourself? Do you have questions about how to pick an addiction treatment option? What have your experiences been, good or bad? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. We pick up our conversation with Ann Fletcher, author of the new book Inside Rehab, about how to find the best treatment for addiction, what evidence says about what works and what doesn't in addiction treatment. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe with your experiences. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, thanks for giving me the opportunity. I have very strong feelings about this, so let me just communicate what I want to communicate, which is this assessment idea, I think, only reinforces people's denial. And the reason I say that is this. We're all, as human beings, asked to be well. It's a matter of wellness. We're all at varying degrees of wellness. If a person's in a river, floating down a river toward a waterfall where that's going to kill them, you don't say to them, oh, you're fine, you're not drowning yet. The point is, what are you doing in the river? And see, people who are addicted to chemicals or whatever you want a term you want to use, it's a matter of wellness. The only assessment that matters is the person who chooses to get well. If you go to a person and say, oh, you're fine, your drinking isn't bothering your lifestyle, alcohol is a toxin. That's not well. You're not well if you're drinking alcohol. So my point is, don't reinforce people's denial by couching it in, well, it's not really necessary for them to go to treatment. We all need treatment, in my opinion.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Ann, what do you think of what Jeff had to say?
Well, it's a question of degree. And, you know, many times I found that people were forced to go to treatment, and if the treatment isn't right for the person, they're going to, he's using the word denial. If it's not the right fit or the right type of treatment for the person, they're going to resist it and they're going to walk away. And it's not always a question of denial. It's finding treatment that's right for the person. And many times a person does better. I remember one woman told me that she was forced to go to a very prominent program where all the treatment was group-based. And she was extremely shy. She was forced to tell the people, one of the sayings that's often used in addiction treatment, traditional 12-step-based treatment. And I'm not opposed to that because it works for many people, but you have to find what's right for you. And she had been forced to go to that kind of treatment before. She went to it again. And there's a saying that you're only as sick as your secrets. And she was forced to reveal things about her history that made her very uncomfortable in front of other people. And it had to do with her sex life in the past. And she was extremely shy, and she said, I've never shared in group with other people. And she finally found a program after not doing well in that program. And often people were told, it's you, you're not getting the program, it's you. And in fact, it wasn't her. The program was not the right fit. And I heard this over and over again. She finally found a program where the treatment was largely one-on-one. The counselors, almost all of them, had a PhD in psychology. And she was able to, she said, I finally felt that I belonged at this place, because I didn't have to disclose things about myself that were very intimate in front of a group. When I talked to her, she was getting her PhD in psychology. And that leads me to something else that's very important. Many people don't know that many programs, and there have been studies about what goes on nationwide in addiction treatment, many of the counselors don't even have to have a college degree. And when we're talking about addiction, we're talking about some of the sickest people who are being treated by some of the least trained professionals in any kind of profession. And many experts I talked to said that people should have at least a master's degree to be treating people with addiction. People with substance use disorders, to use the proper term, often have co-occurring mental health problems. And by the time somebody gets to an inpatient program, that most of them have co-occurring mental health problems in addition to their addiction. And they often do not get the psychological or psychiatric treatment that they need to go along with their substance use disorder. So it's important to ask about the credentials of the people who will be providing most of your care when you go into treatment.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Go next to Angie with us in Milwaukee. Angie, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I just wanted to say that I have been a patient in multiple facilities for drug abuse. And when I listen to you talk and the way that you dissect how the patient feels, I think is the most important part. If you are not worried about the patient and just constantly concerned with what their problem is, you will never fix that patient. When HIV was an issue, people were treated with great disrespect. They were treated like some sort of plague, and that's how people are treating addiction today.
Angie, have you found a program or a treatment that did better than what you're talking about?
I am just now in a program that I have started a couple months ago that has finally started to work for me. And for the first time, my provider said something very, very, very important. He said, "You are not an addict. You are sick." And I've never heard anyone say that. I've heard it on the radio. I've heard other people talk about these magical doctors. But he wants to see CT scans of my brain. He wants to study what my body is going through individually. And I don't have private insurance. This guy is doing this out of the goodness and pocket of his heart. And hopefully the studies that he's doing on me can help someone else.
Angie, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I hope this treatment works out for you. And Angie is not the first one to tell you that story, I'm guessing.
No, and it's, you know, I was fortunate after I finished the book to be, even though I'm not a licensed, I'm not credentialed as an addiction counselor, I was hired as an educator at a unique addiction treatment program called Minnesota Alternatives. And they really work with the individual. There certainly was some group treatment, and I was hired to run some of the groups to teach people about how to better meet their psychological needs. They were skills groups, but the program was not built on the 12 steps. We encouraged people to go to outside groups of their own choosing if they wanted to. But the program, the work with the counselors, most of whom had master's degrees, where they were trained in a unique way. Most of them also had degrees in mental health. They really worked with the counselor, with the patients, the clients, one-on-one, to help them individually come up with their own way of dealing with their addiction or substance use disorder. And it sounds like our caller has found something that will work for her. And we really let the client come up with, they often, people know what will work and will not work for them. And, you know, when you're trying to get a person to put on a shoe that's not the right size, which I heard so often when people went to programs and they were blamed that, you know, it's not the program. But many times I found that it was a one-size-fits-all approach. And if you think about it, we have many, many different approaches to deal with high blood pressure, many different approaches to deal with depression. And the same thing should apply to dealing with addiction, that we offer many different approaches and let the client tell the counselor, "This did not work for me in the past, but this sounds like something that will really work for me," and let them try and find their own way.
Angie, thanks again for the call. Anne, let's talk about access. Do we have enough effective treatment options with credentialed people who use evidence-based approaches to meet the needs of people addicted to alcohol, opioids, you name it?
Absolutely not. One of the things that I found, unfortunately, was that there's a huge gap between science and practice. And there have been research studies on this where an expert named Dr. Carroll from Yale had people actually, she recorded sessions of counselors with clients, And she said a lot of what went on with clients was, quote unquote, chat, checking in with clients, a lot of winging it, a lot of going to the computer to Google worksheets before they went to group, a lot of educational lectures and films. And these are some of the least effective ways to treat people with substance problems. And they were not using evidence-based approaches like cognitive behavioral approaches. They were leaving the family out of treatment. Families, we have evidence approaches for families. One of the most effective approaches, which I was lucky enough to use with, I ran a co-led a group with a counselor called CRAFT, which stands for Community Reinforcement and Family Training. Only an academic can come up with a name like that. But if you could find a program that uses the CRAFT approach, which helps the family communicate better with the person with addiction, there are evidence-based approaches, but they're being used very seldom in most programs that are out there.
We'll leave it there for now. Anne, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm happy to be with you.
That was Anne Fletcher, author of the new book, Inside Rehab, The Surprising Truth About Addiction Treatment and How to Get Help That Works. She shared her research and her experience visiting a number of different addiction treatment facilities around the country, expensive, low income, and all points in between, and how to navigate the addiction treatment system when you or a loved one is looking for help. Still time to share your story. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org.